Shall we now turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 15. First book of Samuel, chapter 15, and we shall read verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. The title this morning is Rebellion is like witchcraft. Rebellion is like witchcraft. What is the meaning of witchcraft? It is the art or the practice or practices of a witch, of a sorcerer or a magician. Witchcraft is a broad term, an umbrella used in this practice. It is used by people who do not believe in God. It is anti-Christian. To make it easy to understand, we can take the example of papercraft. Papercraft is a collection of art forms. It uses paper and card, and it includes the art of scrapbooking, card making, paper flowers, decoupage, paper mache, origami, origata, and paper cutting. A person interested in paper craft may become expert in one or two of these arts, or even more. Similarly, in witchcraft, we have many different practices, many different art. The Bible mentions them as divination, enchantments, consulter with familiar spirits, wizardry, observer of times, charmer, necromancy, sorcery. And today we hear words like clairvoyant, medium, and so on. And all this suggests the same thing. Witchcraft. What is the outstanding thing that witches have in their craft? They do this by the power of the devil. They have sold themselves to the devil. They reject God and do not have any relationship with the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. Now, we learn from ancient times that the people of the world had in general given themselves to witchcraft. People consulted witches. They held them in high regards and they paid them. Witchcraft had become a source of benefit for their spiritual and material life. When they were sick, they consulted them. When they needed material help, they consulted them. When they wanted to buy or sell, they consulted them. When they wanted to get married, they consulted them. When a relative died, they sought their help. They went to the witches to appease the dead spirit, so that the spirit of the dead would not trouble them. These were found in places of worship and in private places. Some were considered more powerful than the others. Even today in India, we see people seeking for those who are more powerful than the one which they had gone. If you begin to tell a person about his trouble and about your trouble and how you had gone to some witch or guru, that's a good, nice name, a decent name, and then he will say, oh, there's another guy there. You know, he's very powerful. And so you want to go there. Great men, rich men, poor men, army generals, businessmen, kings, rulers, counselors, all manner of people went to them to receive counsel. The people of old times, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, had totally forgotten God, the true and living God, the creator and sustainer of all things. Satan held sway over the whole earth. He was indeed the God of the world. Witchcraft was the main religion of the whole earth. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and people were under the deception of Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not." Children, young people, older people, if your trust is not in the Lord as yet, it goes to show that the God of this world has blinded your mind. He has power over you. He has deceived you. And he is keeping you in that deception. You must break through, not through your own help, but by rejecting Satan and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so very important to understand. You see, Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the second reading that we read, "Where in time past," he's talking to the believers now, "where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's how we were before. Those who are saved in Christ Jesus, God through his mercy saved us through his Son. But that's how we were. All have sinned and fallen short of the standards of God. We cannot understand him without the grace of God. Now, God in his mercy formed a nation. The whole earth was being deceived by Satan. And so God in his mercy formed a nation out of one man, Abraham. When Satan made Adam and Eve rebel against God and infused in them his knowledge, God told Satan that he, that is God, would bring a seed of a woman. And this seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. The Lord told serpent, "This seed of the woman will crush your head." And so he chose to bring that seed from the nation that he has formed. God formed this nation called Israel, and he promised to give them a land called Canaan. He wanted to separate this nation from the influence of witchcraft, from the God of witchcraft, you see? And that is the first thing that God does. He separates a person. You see? He separates a person from this evil, wicked spirit, Satan. And if that has not happened to you as yet, you are in danger. Your soul, dear friend, is in great danger. Because if you die in that state, being in the hands of Satan, you are lost forever. You are lost forever. You cannot say to the Lord, "But Lord, I used to go to church. I listened to your word." Sorry. You never repented. You never said, "Lord, I want to hold on to you. I don't care what happens. I want to hold on to you and have you and come to you in heaven forever." And this can happen right now. Right now, not after you die. Don't listen to that lie. It is now. Today is the day of salvation. So, what did God do then? God drove the people of Canaan. The people of Canaan was steeped in witchcraft. Steeped. Everywhere, every corner of the street, there were things erected in honor of this wicked, evil spirit. They used to sacrifice their children. If you go to Israel and where the excavation has been done, you will find the places of sacrifices where children have been offered to this demon. And now we are doing it in a very nice way. We call it clinics. You go to the clinic, if you are having a baby, you don't want that baby, tell the clinic, tell the doctors, you can finish it off. It's a sacrifice. You see how subtle Satan is. He influences us in a very, very subtle way so that we disobey God and do His will. Be very careful. Until and unless you know the Word of God, until and unless you know Christ Jesus personally, you will not understand and you will not have the power to overcome Satan. So God drove the people of Canaan out, which was filled with witchcraft, and He placed the people of Israel in this land. He cleansed them, He cleansed the land, and He put the people of Israel, His people, there. God from the very beginning now told the people of Israel, when you come to the land that He will give them, yeah? In Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 10, we hear the Lord saying to them, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. In other words, you will not sacrifice any children. Any children. You will not kill your children. Or that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You see that? None of these things you will practice in this land. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. That's the reason why I've driven them out. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. You see, they went after them. They listened to them. They took counsel from them. But you will not be so. You will be under me. You will take my counsel. You will keep my commandments. But as for you, the Lord thy God had not allowed thee so to do. No, you will not do such a thing. Let me read for you from another version. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 10 to 13. No one shall be found among you who makes a son or daughter pass through fire, or who practice divination, soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells. Isn't it? We hear in the school, what is that famous author?
J.K. Rowling.
That's right. Yes. You know, we hear so much about casting spells and things like that, isn't it? Or who consult ghosts or spirits, or who seeks oracles from the dead. It is like a game. Oh, dear friends, it is not a game. Children, listen to this. It is not a game. It is dangerous. You are dealing with the occult, with the spirit world. You see? Witchcraft in all its form is an abomination to the Lord. All these things are wicked and a disgusting thing to the Lord. It is totally evil. The Bible says, all have gone astray. All have gone astray. There is none that is right. What the Lord means is, all have come under the influence of witchcraft. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's standards. if you stay in India or in Africa, in the Middle East or in South America, even before that, even in the whole of Americas, even today, I'm talking about Brazil and Mexico and Chile and so on, even today you will know what it means when I say that witchcraft permeated the whole society. Before Christ Jesus began his ministry, witchcraft was a normal way of life. Normal way of life. The witch, man or a woman, was the hub of the society. The so-called guru culture is nothing but consulters of familiar spirits, demons. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Greeks, Romans, Europeans, Far Eastern, Southeast Asia, the Americas, every land and its people were saturated with witchcraft. This was the religion of the world, dear friends. It was dark world of spirits, bewitching the hearts and the minds of the people and keeping people bound. To go to a witch when in trouble was considered most natural thing. Even after Christ came into the world and destroyed the works of Satan, those that are not truly born of the Spirit of God would continue to be under the spell of Satan. One young lady, a devout Roman Catholic, was not finding a right partner. She was getting many proposals, but she could not find one that was suitable for her. And someone told her, go to so-and-so person, go to so-and-so person. I would call her a witch. She was a Roman Catholic. She lighted candles and prayed Hail Mary and Holy Mary and things like that. And when the wax of the candle melted and formed into some shape, she then would read the answer through the shape of the wax to the request made. She would read and then she would tell that person what's going to happen. Now, before going to this woman, this young lady, being a devout Roman Catholic, asked her parish priest if it was okay to go there. He said, yes. After all, she says the rosary. But what does the Lord say about it? Has he never read the Bible? No? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Verse 26 of Leviticus 19, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe time. The Lord says, no, nothing doing. Many years ago, I was bitten by a centipede. And centipedes are venomous, and I was in terrible pain. And when my neighbors came to know that I was bitten by centipede, they insisted that I go to a man who uses a branch and he hits on your head and he chants something. He was obviously a witch. I was not saved by Christ Jesus then. I was a Roman Catholic. I went. And now I'm not talking only about Roman Catholic, but it doesn't matter what you are. If you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, if you're not in Christ Jesus, your sins are not forgiven, everyone will have the tendency to go, when in trouble, to anyone, to any witch. It was not necessary, but I went. I'm sharing with you to show how easily available these witches are even today. In any state or country where the majority or half of them are, for example, Roman Catholics, it is very common to go to witches of all sort. There will be a crucifix, and there will be images, and there will be candles, and all kind of things. And they will say prayers, but it is not of Christ. It is not of Christ. Now the people of Israel, although they were clearly taught that the holy and the righteous God does not approve witchcraft, yet Israel all the time returned to the witches. They would seek for repentance, they would make peace with God, and then again return to the witches. They return to the diviners, to the enchantments, consulter with familiar spirits, wizards, observers of time, charmers, necromancers, sorcerers, and to those that offered their children to the idols. Today we hear words like clairvoyant and psychic and medium, wonder-working, fortune-telling, and so on. All this means the same thing, witchcraft. God called the people of Israel harlots. He said, "You are a harlot." Why? They had made a covenant with the Creator God, the holy and righteous God, but they constantly became unfaithful to God and behaved like prostitute. Israel went whoring with other gods, idols, and witchcraft. The Lord warned in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 to 8, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." You hear that? God hates it. God hates it. "Sanctify yourself therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you, which separates you, who draws you close to me so that you become holy and be protected by me." Dear friends, if you have ever engaged yourself, ever, with any kind of witchcraft, seek pardon from the Lord. Seek pardon from the Lord. It is so very important. Even if you have thought about it in your heart, or made a prayer, or played some games, a Ouija board and things like that, ask pardon from the Lord. It is very, very serious. What did the people of Israel do? 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 16 to 19. "And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantment, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight." He divorced them, cast them off. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. But look, also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. We are a terrible lot. Terrible lot. We somehow don't have the ability to remain faithful to God. We are sinners. We are weak. I hope you know that even multi-billion businessmen take help and protection from witch men and witch women. They are given a decent name now. They call them gurus. Mediums are called reverend. Reverend so and so in the West. Slowly and deliberately, witchcraft has gained respectability once again in the West, in the East, in Africa. It's already there. But here, the nations which have been founded on the solid ground of the Bible, the Word of God, it now slowly and deliberately, witchcraft has gained respectability, dear friends. The most horrific and shocking thing is that witchcraft has entered into the churches. Let us be aware, in any church where the Word of God is not preached and accepted as the authentic Word of God, that place is a place of witchcraft. Any church that does not make Jesus the Savior and the forgiveness of sins not being preached, that church practices witchcraft. Any church that offers healing, future telling, wonder working, but does not preach Christ crucified and risen from the dead, repentance and forgiveness of sins, judgment and punishment in hell, is a place of witchcraft. Any church that does not teach the commandments of the Lord, the sovereignty, the holiness, the righteousness, hell for sinners, is a place of witchcraft. Any church that does not call people to repent of their sins, give up sins, put their entire faith in Jesus and receive Him as their Lord and God, is practicing witchcraft. A church that does not preach obedience to God and a preacher that does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God is a witch. Such a person will accept and have fellowship with all manner of witches. All manner. They will call everybody, let us all get together and pray to that God. Which God are you talking about? For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The Lord God clearly says, there is no other God beside me, the God of the Bible, the God, the Creator. So, any preacher that does not give exclusive worship to the Lord God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ is a witch and practices witchcraft. This does not apply only to the preachers, the priests, pastors, but also to the rulers. The first king of Israel, although smart and handsome, well-built, appealing to the senses of the people, turned out to be a man whose heart was bound by witchcraft. The people loved him because he was of their choice. God was their king all this while. That's what God says, I am your king. I will provide everything for you. I will take care of you. And he gave his commandments to them. This is how you must live under me. But no, they said, we want a king, just like the nations. We want a king. And so God gave them a king. God gave them what they wanted. He was a man whose heart was bound by witchcraft. He turned out to be a rebellious king, just like the people. The people of Israel stirred to have democracy, the rule of the majority. We are in the majority. They forsook God as their king and chose their own kind. They rebelled. Prophet Samuel had to say to this king, 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. These words were spoken to Saul, the first king of Israel, by prophet Samuel. God rejected Saul as a king. Why? Because he did not keep the commands of the Lord. He rebelled against the commands of the Lord God Almighty. He went against the holy and righteous God. He tried to assert his own authority over God and his prophet. God had told Saul through prophet Samuel that Saul should go and destroy everything of the Amalekites. Saul did that, but spared Agag, the king, and he spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, and the best of the fatlings and lambs. And after this, the Lord pointed out to Samuel what Saul had done. Verse 11 of 1 Samuel 15. The Lord said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night." The heart of Samuel, the prophet. Then Samuel went to Saul. Now Saul told Samuel, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel said, "Why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep in mine ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" "Oh," he said, "the people have brought them from the Amalekites. They have spared the best sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God." Thy God. "And the rest we have utterly destroyed." You see that? Again, he does not want to listen to the Lord. The Lord is saying, "You have disobeyed." He's saying, "No. I have done this. Kept the best sheep, best oxen, the fatlings for your God." He is obedient to his people. He gives to the people and to God what people want to give. Because the people, he said, wanted it. The people saved them to give it to you, to your God. Samuel reminded Saul that God had told him to utterly destroy the Amalekite, the sinners, and all that they have. So why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you save some? Asked Samuel. Saul said, "I have obeyed, but spared the king and the people, took the rest of the oxen and sheep to sacrifice to your God." Good intentions. They spared the best of sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord of Samuel. You notice twice Saul says to Samuel, "The people have spared the best of the animals to sacrifice to your God." In other words, Saul was saying, "Look, we are doing a favor to your God. We are doing a favor. We are considerate about your God. We want to give the best to your God." Perhaps these good intentions were well meant, but God had clearly told Saul to destroy all. Everything of the Amalekites had become sin. Why? Because they were practicing witchcraft. Their religion was witchcraft. Everything had been defiled. Their time was up. Their cup of abomination was full. Saul and his people brought to God what had become actually an abomination. They were offering to God that which was defiled. Sin contaminates all things, dear friends. Obedience brings blessing upon all that a person or the nation has. Saul, instead of being a leader and teaching the people to honor God and command the people to obey the Lord, he allowed the people to choose what they wanted to do. He did not raise any objection. He even spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites. In his mind, perhaps, and probably this is true, he wanted to bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the animals as trophies. He wanted to bring them back into Israel as trophies. He wanted to bring them into Israel and show the people what he has done. You see? You see how we human like to invent our own victories and how we want to project our own image. God had told them not to bring in the accursed thing, but to destroy it. Today, pastors, priests, bishops, and leaders of the churches bring the Quran in the church. They bring the Bhagavad Gita in the church. They bring mediums in the church, the worldly culture in the church, and all manner of abomination in the church. All manner. Is this the command of the Lord? No. It is what I want. We want the Christian leaders. Say, we want it. We want it. The people want it. The majority of us want it. It is what we and the majority of the people want, the rulers say. People want it. We want it. The majority wins. Samuel spoke the word of God to Saul. Verse 22. Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What does the Lord delight in? Burnt offerings, the flesh. The Lord says, everything is mine. The cattle on the hills are mine. In the valleys, they are mine. Wherever they are, I have made them. And then Samuel told him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Dear friends, the commands of the Lord are very clear. He wants us to obey them. He wants us to live by His will. We can give nothing from ourselves to Him. He is the Creator God. All things belong to Him. He wants us to obey Him and please Him and respect Him and honor Him with our willing submission to Him. The Bible commands us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is our reasonable service. He is our Lord. He has saved us. He has delivered us and taken us captive from the hands of Satan. If Jesus is our Lord, then we must worship Him alone and not be bewitched by a rebellious spirit. Now we must remember, we don't have to go to a witch in order to offend God. We don't have to go to a witch to offend God. Our very heart can be bewitched by the rebellious spirit. After all, what is witchcraft? It is a rebellion against God, isn't it? To say no to God, I will not have your way, I will have my own way. To turn your back to God, that is witchcraft. It is rebellion. It's a choice made to follow and be guided by the power of the devil. And Samuel pointed out to the king, Saul, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. You know, dear friends, before going to the witch, the heart begins to rebel against the mind of God. Before you go to the witch personally, before you begin to practice and take in what the witch is telling you, you actually rebel against God. As an individual human being and as a group of people begin to neglect and reject God and His commands, the individual and even the whole nation move towards witchcraft. This is what happened to King Saul. This is what happened to King Saul. The more he rejected God and His commands, the more evil he became. Bitterness set in his heart. Hatred became his food. He thrived on hatred and jealousy. He was jealous of David. His thoughts were saturated with jealousy. He no more depended on God. He even coveted the place of the prophet. In his impatience and superiority complex, he offered sacrifice which only Samuel was supposed to offer. He was making very clear to everyone that he is a king and he will do whatever he wants to do. He had stopped submitting to the Lord and being so far away from God. Later on, he went out to seek help from a witch. If you know the story, he went to find out his future with a witch who spoke to the ghost. This is what happened, or this is what has happened to the West. This is what happens to any individual that turns away from God. The West largely has lost its faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are mediums all over Europe. There are wonder workers and spirits of lying and future telling that have saturated even churches all over the world. One church called Bethel, an international church, has even gone so far what they call grave soaking. Grave soaking. They ask their people to go and lie on the grave so that they receive the anointing from the spirit of that dead person in the grave. You give it a name, whatever name comes to your mind. Isn't that terrible, dear friend? Grave soaking? You call them evangelical Christians? Friends, we have entered into a time when the religion of the world is turning out to be witchcraft. If you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be swallowed by it. The deception will grow stronger and stronger, so much so that Jesus has said, if possible, even the elect could be deceived. Look, as the scripture has said, it is happening. Come to Jesus Christ. Repent of your rebellion in your heart. Don't follow your heart, dear friends. Follow the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Obey the Lord, and grace will pile up upon grace. Surely, if you honor Him and love Him and don't give up, you will not be deceived by the Lord. But the Lord will guard you and give you the assurance of eternal life. He will take charge of you. If you have bent your knees or have taken the name of any other gods or goddesses or have prayed to any other creature that is dead and gone. You know, people pray to the dead spirits. They call them saints. And then they pray to them. But if you have done so, dear friends, to any dead spirit, ask the risen Lord Jesus Christ to pardon your sins of witchcraft. Make a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Read His word and obey it. Heaven will be yours, and peace will guard your soul. Shall we pray?